Sports Talk Saturday.
What? Mm. Come on, baby. Feeling hungry. Need a little. A phony baloney.
On WGR.
I ain't no phony. Phony baloney. Got to give me baloney. Got to give me that baloney.
Sports Radio 550.
Is that Chef from South Park singing that song? Oh, we've done this many times. I forget every time.
It's Dave Grohl, Foo Fighters, when they mockingly made a video about, oh, are they going to break up? No. And that was the product.
Okay. Just sounds like Chef.
Hey, man, you just need a little phony baloney.
I like baloney. I don't want it to be phony, though.
But then also get you some phony baloney. Get some real baloney, get some fake baloney. Or phony baloney.
Man, we're off to a flying start, aren't we? Good evening. Evening. Good morning. Yeah.
Raucous start.
Let's start over. Good morning, everyone. 11:04 is the time here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson here with you once again on Sports Talk Saturday. And got a couple of things coming up here for you as we're here with you until 2 o'clock today. Coming up today at 11:30, in about 25 minutes, we're going to have Ryan Wagman from McKean's Hockey to join us. We're going to talk some NHL draft. We're going to get you a little look ahead to some of the prospects who Ryan believes could be available at number 7 for the Sabres, who would fit there at number 7. And also, we'll get you some of the guys that are in the lower part of the first round, because, of course, the Sabres have the 31st overall pick, thanks to the St. Louis Blues. And congrats to the Blues for winning their first ever Stanley Cup on Wednesday night in Boston in that fun, exhilarating Game 7 victory. Later on in the show, we'll talk with Brian Koziel. I know he was busy early this morning on Tee to Green at Tantara Golf Club. He'll be joining us, though, later on with a little bit more of an update as well. We'll also talk some Sabres hockey with Brian. Of course, he is the in-game host for the Buffalo Sabres radio network here on WGR and elsewhere along the network. And, of course, we want to hear from you this morning and this afternoon as we hope that the rain stays away for you today. 803-0551-888-550-2550. I'm hoping the rain stays away, too. I'm going to an outdoor wedding later on this afternoon, Derek, and I really hope that it does not rain, because, outdoor rainy weddings just brings a very bad vibe sometimes. I know a lot of people say that, oh, it's good luck when it rains on a wedding day. It rained on mine, but it was indoors, but nothing's more disappointing when it's an outdoor wedding and it's just going to rain the whole time.
Let's be real. It just requires luck in a marriage in general. I don't think the rain on a wedding day is really going to matter in the grand scheme of things. You need luck and effort and all that other stuff.
Well, grit. Certainly.
You need grit for your weddings. You need grit. Compete. Fourth line grit.
I mean, you need grit and compete throughout your entire marriage.
I need sleep. What the hell's wrong with me?
Yeah. Sometimes it gets to that point where you need to bear down and, just take a bullet for anything.
That said, you haven't lived until you hung out at an outdoor wedding when it rains, man. There's sometimes, with the right people, that could be a party.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure that this one would be a...
And if there's not the right people, be the right people. Be the party. Be the party, Brayton. Be the party.
I'm sure that with the wedding that I'm going to, that I wouldn't be surprised if there is a some sort of like mud involved into all of this. Like, eventually,
are you going
later
back to the hinterlands?
Well, yeah. What do you expect?
Oh, we're fine. You're going to be all right.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, though.
Now I kind of hope it rains.
Oh,
because you'll have stories.
Well, obviously, storytelling is great, but
yes.
I would.
Selfishly, now I want stories.
No, I'd rather not have it rain. I think a lot of people would not rather have it rain. I know that there are other things going on this
Just
weekend.
Just make sure that the suit coat is away, and you'll be good.
No, either way. We're here with
or
you.
Or just dry clean. Dry clean's wonderful.
We're here with you on this Saturday talking some hockey, some golf, football, anything that you really want to talk about. Hey, if you want to, I do have something that I do want to mention about the Women's World Cup and the 13-0 U.S. drubbing of Thailand the other day. I've got some thoughts on that. And if you got any other thoughts this afternoon, this morning, on anything going on in the sports world, you're more than welcome to join us. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. That's the toll-free number. You can also tweet at us at WGR550. I'm also on Twitter at BJWilsonWGR. Or you can text us on our text line. That number is 550-550. And recently, especially with the offseason coming to an end in the NHL, I'm very much like Jeremy White right now, where the Sabres are on my mind, and it seems like they're on my mind a majority of the time. And, I mean, I talk with a lot of people. I just talk a lot about the Sabres, and people ask me about what's going to happen with the Sabres. What are they going to do? And I can't really escape the talk of it. There are some times where I'm just like, okay, I've got to take, you know, not take work home with me and leave it here and then just enjoy the rest of my day. But it's tough because I do interact with a lot of people in my community, and people always ask me, hey, what's going to happen with the Sabres, or what are they going to do this offseason? And I just can't stop thinking about it, can't stop talking about it. But I'm fine with that because I do love doing what I do, and I'm more than willing to talk about it. But it's interesting because today's kind of the opening, like the true opening of the offseason in the NHL. And it really is, because coming up at 5 o'clock today, the first little order of business in the offseason is the buyout period opens. The first buyout period opens today in the National Hockey League. That begins at 5 o'clock today. By the way, if you want to get a rundown of all the upcoming important dates in the NHL, you can check it out at WGR550.com. I've got a nice little important 2019 NHL offseason dates article up. Sal had one for the NFL. I decided to make one for the NHL just because there's oftentimes a lot of questions as to, oh, hey, when is this period of offseason activity open up? Or when does that end? I tried to break it down as best as I could for everybody at WGR550.com. So today, coming up at 5 o'clock, the first buyout period begins in the NHL, where players can officially be bought out by teams. And I'm still interested to see what the Buffalo Sabres are going to do with this buyout period. I think that there is a good chance that we could see maybe one buyout from the Sabres, and I think the obvious name there would be Vladimir Sobotka. I know that he's only got 1 year left on his deal, and you know, it wouldn't make too much sense to buy out just 1 year on the contract. However, I just think that looking at Sobotka and just the terrible year that he had last year, it just makes too much sense to buy out a guy like that. I'm at capfriendly.com right now, and I'm going to get the totals for Vladimir Sobotka. Again, I've done this plenty of times, and every time I can't ever remember. So if the Sabres were to buy out Vladimir Sobotka's contract later today or any point before June 30th, it would cost the Sabres $1.5 million on the cap hit this upcoming season, and then the next season it would be just $1 million to the cap hit. That's not entirely bad at all. Vladimir Sobotka is slated to make $3.5 million this offseason. The Sabres, they could really open it up a little bit more if they decided to buy out the contract, open it up at least $2 million more for this season to be able to have a little bit more room to be able to make additions to the team or sign players, trade for players. There's a lot of good options that the Sabres can do here with the salary cap that they have. Buying out Vladimir Sobotka would make complete sense. I know that some people want to buy out Kyle Okposo, but here's how the Okposo contract runs, and this would be a little difficult to manage here for at least the first couple of seasons. Of course, the first two seasons after his buyout, this season and next season, $4 million against the cap both years. The Sabres do save $2 million on the cap with that total, but still, even then the third year, 21-22, that's a $5 million cap at only $1 million savings. Then after that, $3 million in the fourth year to the 2022-23 season, that's $3 million in savings. And then after that, for the next 4 years, it's $1 million against the cap hit. It might be just better for the Sabres to wait on a possible buyout for Kyle Okposo. And not only that, but there is certainly some intrigue as to maybe there's the chance they can sweeten the expansion deal with maybe Seattle, maybe allow, you know, give Oposo and then do what they had to do with, I mean, a lot of teams had to do it with, you know, giving Vegas a first round pick or something, some additional pieces in order for them to have, in order for the team to get rid of a contract to give to Vegas. And Vegas took advantage of that. I mean, they went to the Stanley Cup final in their very first year, but certainly the Oposo situation is a little interesting, but really in general, the Sabres salary cap situation is actually one of the more intriguing ones in the NHL. Is looking at the projected space here for the Buffalo Sabres in this year's salary cap. Right now, currently, their projected cap space, according to Cap Friendly, is $20,415,476. So their cap hit right now is projected at $62 million, and the cap hit, of course, this year is going to be $83 million dollars flat, going up quite a bit. So that's at least a positive thing for the NHL that the cap continues to go up. And for the Sabres, I mean, that was kind of a big factor too, also with trying to get a Jeff Skinner deal done this offseason and get him re-signed, just because Sabres do have quite a bit of cap room, and they were able to slide in a Jeff Skinner contract that's going to be paying him $9 million for the next 8 years, $9 million per year. But also, I mean, looking ahead, it also helps, too, that with this, I mean, obviously you want to still have some space, but the good news is that we hope that the salary cap continues to go up. It's not going to go down at any point. I don't see any way that it goes down at this point. But right now, the Sabres looking just fine in their situation as we speak. But next year is when it starts to get really interesting with the amount of contracts that need to be re-signed and the players that need to be re-upped. Sam Reinhart's a guy that is likely going to get a nice contract extension when the time comes next season. Maybe this offseason he gets a contract extension. Who knows? We don't know what Jason Botterill has in store for the situation moving forward for this team. Another guy that's going to be needing a contract extension after this year is Casey Mittelstadt. They can negotiate that as of July 1st. After next year, let's see, who else? Brandon Montour is going to be a restricted free agent. That's going to be an important deal to get signed. Rasmus Dahlin will be eligible for a contract extension as of July 1st next year. So he's still got 2 years left on his entry-level deal. And this year, there's some players that, you know, you've got to make some decisions on as well. Obviously, we heard Jason Botterill say that Jason Pominville's not out of the question for next year. He's an unrestricted free agent. He's 36 years old. Would you want him back? I mean, I personally could do without Jason Pominville, but maybe they want the leadership aspect that he brings. Maybe they want that nice little depth that Jason Pominville could bring with his ability to play on another line. I mean, he could be a third, fourth line right winger, and then if he needs to jump up to the second line, he can. If he needs to jump up to the first line, he can on a very limited basis, but that's what Jason Botterill is kind of looking for with his depth, is those guys that can jump up and play when needed and then, you know, move back and then fill another role and be able to fill that role just fine. So Pominville might be that. Obviously, Evan Rodriguez is a player that will likely get a contract extension with the Sabres. And most of these guys, too, with the restricted free agents, they have the arbitration rights, which, if I have this correct here, the arbitration deadline comes on Sunday the 23rd, deadline for teams to tender qualifying offers for their restricted free agents. So at that point, at 5 o'clock, if they have offered a qualifying tender to a player, a restricted free agent, they remain a restricted free agent. But then if the team does not, so let's just hypothetically say that the Sabres do not offer a tender to Zemgus Girgensons, that would officially make him an unrestricted free agent heading into July 1st. So then that means that he would be able to go ahead and speak with other teams leading up to July 1st. And certainly this offseason is going to be an interesting one and from the Sabres perspective, but also league-wide just because of offer sheets and the possibility that there could be some offer sheets handed out for the first time in what seems like eons, as the last one came with Ryan O'Reilly as the Calgary Flames. They decided to try and get him signed to an offer sheet, and then Colorado matched it, but the contact period begins with restricted free agents on June 26th. That, I believe, is a Wednesday. It's a Wednesday, so that's when restricted free agents can start talking with other teams. And then, of course, on July 1st, teams can offer the offer sheets to players. The players can sign them. And then the team that holds the rights to the restricted free agents have 7 days in order to match that offer sheet. And then if not, the player will go to the team that signed them to the offer sheet, and then obviously the compensation will go back the other way to the team that lost that restricted free agent. But the Sabres, again, running down the list of restricted free agents, they have Zemgus Girgensons, Johan Larson, Evan Rodriguez, Jake McCabe is another interesting name, and Linus Ullmark are your restricted free agents that are at least at the NHL level. In the AHL level, you've got CJ Smith, Sean Malone, Remy Ellie, and Eric Cornell. Also, Jack Doherty and Bryson Martin. And then your unrestricted free agents includes, of course, Jason Pominville, Kyle Chriscolo, Daniel Regan, Taylor Lear, Matt Molson. Of course, I don't expect Matt Molson to come back. Matt Tennyson, I don't expect that either. And then also you got Adam Wilcox and Scott Wedgwood, who are going to be unrestricted free agents heading into July 1st. Wedgwood, Wilcox, O'Regan, and Lear are all Group 6 unrestricted free agents. Of course, that just means that, you know, at their age and the experience that they've had, they are qualified to become unrestricted free agents once July 1st hits instead of being restricted free agents. And of course, that all can certainly change once the tender period ends on the 23rd. And there's certainly some names especially in the minors that I could totally see the Sabres not offering qualifying tenders and allowing them to walk to unrestricted free agency. But then, moving forward after that, obviously, we've got the draft coming up next weekend. So next Friday, it'll be the first round of the draft going up in Vancouver. We will be having live coverage throughout the day here on WGR. If I'm correct, I believe the Instigators are going to be on 5 hours that day. And then also during that evening, I'll be on along with Jody Biasi. Both of us will be covering the draft, and we'll have the Sabres pick at 7, the Sabres pick at 31, unless they trade up. We'll have that all for you right here on WGR. We will have wall-to-wall coverage of the NHL draft. And then again on Saturday, I'll be at least back covering rounds 2 through 7 in Vancouver. And the Sabres don't have a second-round pick this year because, obviously, they had traded that to Carolina in the Jeff Skinner deal. And certainly things look a little more interesting as the draft goes on. Again, if you want to follow up with all the Sabres offseason moves and the players that they drafted, we do have a tracker of that also at WGR550.com. So as of right now, here's the rundown of the Sabres picks that they have in this year's draft. Of course, round one, they have picks number 7 and picks number 31 right now. In round 3, they have pick 67. In round 4, this is the one that's kind of interesting because the San Jose Sharks have the decision still. They haven't made the decision yet to either give the Sabres this year's fourth round pick, which would be pick number 122, or they could keep it and then subsequently they would automatically give Buffalo next year's third round pick. So the Sabres might have 2 third round picks next year, or they would just get San Jose's fourth. Then after that, the Sabres have 3 picks in the 6th round, and I do not expect the Sabres to be picking all 3 picks in the 6th round. I mean, hopefully they would be able to find a way to trade up or maybe use those picks to acquire another asset. Sabres have picks number 160, 175, and 177 in the 6th round. And then finally, in round number 7, they have pick number 191, and that rounds out their first round. So, I mean, the draft here coming up is another interesting little tidbit here because the Sabres have been decent at drafting as of late. It seems like that Jason Botterill especially has hit on a nice couple of assets in the draft that, you know, when they were drafted, I mean, especially Oskari Laaksonen, we thought, who the heck is this guy? He wasn't even ranked. Where is this coming from? Drafted him in the third round, maybe fourth round. I'll just double check that real quick. But Laaksonen for the Sabres, third round, 89th overall. Nobody really knew who the heck he was. He was just a small little kid coming out of Finland, playing juniors there. And what do you know? He develops into a decent defender, maybe one of the Sabres' top prospects currently right now in the pipeline. And he's going to be playing in Finland for Ilves for maybe at least a couple more years before making the jump to the NHL. But he was kind of a huge part for them in winning the gold medal at the World Juniors this past year in Vancouver. and nice little pieces. And last year, they got a couple of other nice little pieces. Another nice piece that Jason Bottrell had in the 2017 draft that I still really like is Linus Weisbach, who is currently right now playing with Wisconsin. And he's a really good, skilled, young forward. He doesn't have the greatest of size, but he definitely brings the offense, and he's able to put the puck in the back of the net. So he's had two drafts. Jason Bottrell's had two drafts so far. He's had Casey Mittelstadt, Rasmus Dahlin. Those are obviously the two top first-round picks in his draft history. Then you have players like Marcus Davidson and Matias Samuelson, who are second-round picks, and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen as well. Luukkonen might be Buffalo's top prospect at this point moving forward, and Samuelson might be there. Davidson might be there as well. We mentioned, obviously, Oskari Laaksonen. Jacob Bryson, who the Sabres just signed to his entry-level deal after he had just got done playing in the Frozen Four with Providence. So Bryson's going to be in the Sabres pipeline next year down in Rochester. Obviously, they've got Matei Pekar. They've got Linus Kronholm, Miska Kukkonen, and also William Vorg-Crew. And Kronholm is a guy who actually is starting to get a little more buzz over in the Swedish Hockey League, playing with, I believe, Luleå in the Swedish Elite League over there. Malmo. He's over with the Malmo Redhawks, but got six games, and of course he's only 19 years old, but certainly a guy that maybe we could see playing at the World Juniors this year for Sweden. We're not entirely sure yet, but Bottrell has done a decent job in his two drafts with guys that have kind of been unknowns when they are drafted, but then as the season goes on, they start to develop, and that's all it is really with these draft picks. It's how you develop, and that's the thing that has really hurt the Sabres as of late in their draft history is the lack of development of some of the prospects that they draft and progression that they have. You look at the Tim Murray drafts, looking back especially at the 2014 draft, that draft was a disaster for the most part. Obviously, Sam Reinhart was the pick at number two overall. He's turned out to be just fine, 205 points in 331 games played in the NHL. Brendan Lemieux never saw a game in the NHL with the Sabres. He was traded to Winnipeg, has played with Winnipeg and also the New York Rangers. And then after that, Eric Cornell has been just an AHL type of guy, but he was drafted in the second round. Vaclav Karabacek, a complete bust. He came to the AHL, lasted, I don't even think, a full season in the AHL. I mean, he did have a couple years in the AHL, but nothing that was, you know, substantial or nothing that was really eye-popping. And he left, and he's back, I believe, over in the Czech Republic playing right now. Jonas Johansson, still there might be something there. He's currently with ECHL Cincinnati. He's probably going to be playing again next season there. Maybe he gets a chance to crack the AHL lineup for a while. Bryson Martin, a third-round pick, complete bust. A guy that has really never even progressed in his development whatsoever. A very huge miss for Tim Murray. Max Willman was a fifth-round pick. His rights with the Sabres are going to be up as of August 15th. He will become an unrestricted college free agent. Christopher Brown, I believe that's a similar situation. And then Victor Olofsson, of course, obviously that might be the one that is the gem. But again, I see Victor Olofsson as more of a Jason Bottrell product, just because Olofsson, especially when Bottrell came into the picture, he was scouted by, you know, Jason Bottrell. They sent guys over there to watch him, and he, you know, grew into the player that he is. And then they signed him to the contract. He comes over here, works with Chris Taylor in the American Hockey League, and gets that guidance in his early journey here to the NHL. And in six NHL games, he has two goals and 4 points in six games. So, I mean, the 2014 class didn't look good. 2015 class didn't look so great either. Giorgio Estevan was a sixth-round pick. He didn't pan out. Ivan Chukarov is nothing, really. He's probably not going to sign. He's also a college unrestricted free agent as of August 15th. Will Borgen might be the only nice piece obviously Jack Eichel, Brendan Gooley, but Gooley's now no longer part of the organization. Will Borgen might be a nice piece. Obviously, he got four games in last year, didn't really get any production in terms of offense or anything like that, but I think Will Borgen is a really good two-way asset that might be a nice piece to the puzzle moving forward. And then the 2016 draft, obviously the big miss is Alex Nylander right at the top with the first pick at eighth overall. You had glaring issues at defense. You could have taken Mikhail Sergachev. You could have taken Charlie McAvoy. You could have taken Jacob Chychrun. and you take Alex Nylander, who has struggled a lot. And also, and again, I've said this before, I'll say it again, and this is sort of a defense for Alex Nylander. He was not ready for the AHL when he came in. There was no way he should have been in the American Hockey League playing with Rochester when he did, with how terrible the American Hockey League was for, or the Amerks were for that matter. How bad they were when he started, and just the lack of leadership that that team had when Alex Nylander became a professional and played in the AHL in his first season. A terrible mismanagement by Tim Murray and the Sabres, and Jason Botterill has been trying desperately to try and make it work for Alex Nylander, and I think last year was a good step for him. But now the talk is, okay, if you're making a trade to try and improve this year's roster moving forward, is Alex Nylander going to be a piece? And we'll talk a little bit about more of that, and certainly I'd love to hear your thoughts on what the offseason plan for the Buffalo Sabres is moving forward. You could call us at 803-0551, 888-552-550 with your thoughts. We'll step aside and we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll get Ryan Wagman from McKean's Hockey. He'll join us and we'll ask him about some of this year's top players in this year's draft class and get a look ahead to next weekend's NHL draft and see where he thinks some of these players will fall. Brayton Wilson here on Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer producing things here for me. Listening to WGR. Welcome back into Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson here with you, filling in for Sal Capaccio and Nate Geary this morning and afternoon as the NHL draft is quickly upon us here, as it'll be coming up next week. We'll have a complete coverage here on WGR starting on Friday, as it'll be myself, Brayton Wilson, and Jody Biasi starting coverage with you at 7 o'clock as the draft takes place in Vancouver this year. The Sabres will be picking with the 7th overall pick, also picking with the 31st overall pick. That would be the St. Louis Blues pick. And joining us right now on the Wester Hotline is Ryan Wagman. He is a draft analyst with the with McKean's Hockey. So Ryan joins us right now. Ryan, good morning, and thanks again for taking the time to join me.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've gotten this question plenty of times before, but I'll ask it, of course, right now. Ryan, is Kaapokako versus Jack Hughes, where do you see both of those guys? Do you have one ahead of the other? Are they more closer than everybody thinks? Who do you have 1-2 between those guys?
We have Jack Hughes number one, and while it's a lot closer than it was when the season began, there's still some daylight between the two. A lot of that daylight comes simply from the fact that Hughes is a center and Kako is a winger. But we think they're both going to be NHLers right away, and they both should end the year, maybe not begin the year, but end the year as top six forwards and have superstar futures.
Yeah, and with those two, the draft then gets really interesting with the 3rd overall pick, which belongs to the Chicago Blackhawks. And certainly things are going to be interesting to see where things fall into place. But who do you think is that right fit for this Chicago team at that 3rd pick? Or are you guys just kind of in the same boat as most everyone is, where there's a ton of options that are available there, and it's almost just kind of based on what Chicago really wants?
I think I would more lean towards the latter. After Hughes and Kako, there are about 10 players who are really, really tight, and you can put them in almost any order and it wouldn't be wrong. And I've heard a lot of whispers about the Hawks liking Alex Turcotte from the U.S. National Program, who is from the Chicago area, and that might be part of the reason why those whispers are louder and louder. But he would be kind of the type of guy who fits in that slot. Another guy I think is, in my personal opinion, is the best player after the top two is a defenseman, Bowen Byram, from the Vancouver Giants of the WHL, who's just a number one defenseman, a couple years away from it, but he's a future number one defenseman, and those are very, very rare. And the only reason I think Chicago might be willing to pass up on a guy like Byram is because they've used their top two picks in each of the last two drafts on defensemen. And, while you don't draft for need, you do take into consideration organizational strengths and weaknesses.
Now, I think that, a guy like Turcotte certainly is an attractive guy that some people have ranked pretty lower than some of the others. And I mean, obviously the injury didn't help to Turcotte at the beginning of the year, but is he a guy that could certainly fall to, you know, maybe to seven where the Sabres are, or do you think that the more likely than not that he gets taken somewhere before them?
I mean, it's a very good question. Like, if we just look at our overall ranking, you know, I think it's certainly a possibility that he could fall to seven. However, I think he does have a lot of, you know, late helium, which would probably put him above some of the guys that we have higher. So I'm looking at our overall rankings. We actually have Turcotte ranked seventh in our final, in our annual guide, in our draft guide. However, like I said, the gap between seven and three, and even if I go down to say 12, is almost nothing. And so you can kind of, you know, mix and match them however you choose. But, you know, what Turcotte did, I think when he was on the ice, he was a superstar. And when he was not on the ice, he wasn't on the ice. So you can't really judge him for when he wasn't there. The question is, do you think he's going to be injury prone or not? I don't have access to medical records, of course, but I don't have any reason to believe or haven't heard anything to believe that the stuff he dealt with earlier in the year, or even when he had mono later in the year, those aren't things that are expected to be repeated events. I don't think he's a guy who's going to score 2 points per game as he did in the USHL this year, but I think he has first line forward capabilities, most likely as a center, but I think he's the type of guy who could probably play the wing as well. He's like a straight line player, goes hard to the net, has incredibly soft hands. And I think another reason why some people might not have him as high as some of the other ones is because his individual tools on their own don't maybe grade out as high as some of the others. You know, he doesn't have that elite speed or that fantastic shot of, say, a guy like the shot like Cofield or the passing game of Trevor Zegras, just to look at some of his teammates, or the skating of Jack Hughes, of course. But he has a good combination of them all, and his hands are incredible, and his IQ is great, and his motor is fantastic.
Ryan Wagman from McKean's Hockey joining us here on the Wester Hotline this morning. All right, so obviously outside of Turcotte, the top of this year's draft class is filled with some pretty good centers, whether it's Kirby Dach, whether it's Dylan Cousins, Trevor Zegras, even guys like Peyton Krebs and Alex Newhook kind of fit there. Which one of those guys are you the most interested in, and which guys are more likely to be there for the Sabres once that seventh pick comes their way?
My personal favorite is Trevor Zegras. He's just incredibly fun to watch because his ability to find a pass from anything is just out of this world. You know, you don't even think there's a play anywhere to be found, and suddenly he spins off a player and he makes this like amazing, you know, diagonal pass to a line mate who's like right off the, you know, the far post, and an easy tap in goal. And he's also he's got an incredible burst of speed. He's personally, I consider him a personal favorite of mine. He's also got a bit of a chippy game as well. Now, if I'm the Sabres, though, looking at where they're picking and as their organization, they're kind of in a weird spot, not just because of, you know, obviously it's just there's so many different options to choose from, but in the sense that Jason Botterill has a very interesting, draft style, in the sense that he doesn't touch players from the CHL, literally at all. And, you know, I think some of the two guys who I think would probably be the best fits for Buffalo's system, kind of fill a need and also, you know, be in that arguable best player available mode, are two of the bigger centers from the WHL, and Dylan Cousins and Kirby Dach. And both who are at most 1 year away from contributing in the NHL. They're top six centers. They have size. They can, they have good passing game, good IQ. They're good skaters. They have like a good blend of everything. And if Botterill can kind of, you know, if we find that no CHL thing is just kind of a fluke in the way the cards were dealt at the time, those would be fantastic fits if they reach Buffalo. And if not, I mentioned Zegras before. He's better than a consolation prize. So, I mean, I think those three, Dach, Cousins, and Zegras, would be fantastic fits for the Sabres organization at number seven.
One popular name that keeps popping up, and you've mentioned him already before, is Cole Caulfield, who is maybe the best goal-scoring winger in this entire draft class. And as of late, a lot of mock drafts have had Caulfield going to the Sabres at number seven, just because that the Sabres so desperately need scoring. And he's obviously going to be going to Wisconsin along with Turcotte, but just want to get your overall thoughts on Caulfield and how he developed throughout the season and where you think he kind of projects out to be as an NHLer moving forward.
He's a fun player to watch. I was lucky enough to be able to see the national program live 8 or 9 times this year, in addition to a number of, you know, video viewings. And the amount of talent up and down that roster is fantastic, but he's somebody who definitely sticks out, even among that talented class. and even before the under 18s where he, you know, broke every record. He's small, you know, and he reminds a lot of people of Alex DeBrincat a few years ago when he was with Erie, in the sense that he's, you know, he's about 5'7", I think 5'8", and he's not tiny. He's kind of, you know, he's got a thick base. He's strong for his size. He's a good skater, but not a great skater, but he's got an ability to find a seam in coverage, find a hole in coverage, and his shot release is near elite. You know, he's not going to score a goal a game, obviously, when he gets to the next level, but he can. I think he's going to dominate college in a year, and I think he'll be ready for the NHL also possibly within a year, as long as the team that drafts him is not too concerned about his size. But as Alex DeBrincat showed, you can, you know, if you're smart enough and you have that lower body strength, you can manage even if you're short. I think Caulfield is going to be a big scorer. You know, the question is with the Sabres is, do they think he would be too similar to somebody like a Jeff Skinner, in the sense that you want some of those different types of talents that can do different things? If he's available at 7, he wouldn't be a bad pick at all. I just don't know if he would be the most suitable pick for Buffalo.
Just a couple more minutes here with Ryan Wagman from McKean's Hockey joining us on the Wester Hotline. Ryan, what about Vasily Podkolzin? He's certainly an interesting name in this year's draft. A guy that has been mocked sometimes to go number 3 overall. That's the highest. And then other times he's been mocked to go somewhere in the middle of the draft. He's obviously a talented player, but there are those concerns that he's going to be sticking around in Russia for a couple more years. Is this sort of a situation like Evgeny Kuznetsov a few years back, or just... What do you think happens with Podkolzin here in this draft?
So you've certainly named, you know, the main concerns, I think, or at least some of the main concerns about Podkolzin. He is signed for, I believe it's another 2 years in Russia, and you get that Russian fear factor. Will he come over, and when will he come over? And, you know, you mentioned a player like that, like Kuznetsov, who was in that boat a few years ago, and I believe this year's Stanley Cup winner, Vladimir Tarasenko, was also in a similar boat in his draft year. You know, the other concern with Podkolzin is that he can be very inconsistent. You know, he has all the talent, all the skills in the world. Some of the most skilled plays I saw this year were on his stick. But there's a lot of games where he plays a very much more muted role. You know, be more of a grinder. You know, he can play that role. And that's to his credit that he can play that role. But with his skill, you want to see him doing it, you know, bringing the offense to the other team more often. So with Podkolzin, you know, we have him in that range as well, in that kind of 3 to 13 range that I mentioned before, where they're all bunched in very tightly. I could see a team that doesn't, you know, that is afraid of taking Russians early, especially one who's not already playing in North America, pass on him for one of the other guys. And I could see him falling to, you know, the 15, 16 range. But a team who's confident that he will be over in 2 years, and that he has no desire to re-sign after that. You know, like after you get past the first 2 picks, a lot of players aren't going to play in the first year. So you're really just saying we're going to push it 1 year further down the road. And if they're confident that they can bring him over after that 1 year further down the road, and that skill set will remain, you know, he could still go in that 6, 7, 8, 9 range. So he's not a bad pick, but there are certainly some risks.
Ryan, 2-part question here for you. The first part is, who is a guy that you could see being a high riser in this year's draft, a guy that maybe picked a little higher than maybe some people expected? And the second part of that question is, who's a guy that could fall behind and be a guy that's picked lower than you originally projected?
Sure. One guy I think could go higher than some project. Again, I don't know how everybody projects things. We try to focus on our own rankings before we look at anybody else's. We want to make sure our rankings are from our own viewings. But a guy who I think rose a lot this year and ended his year very well was Philip Tomasino. He's a center from Niagara in the OHL. You know, he does have some draft pedigree in the sense that he was a high OHL pick back in his year, but he didn't have a lot of buzz coming into the year. But as the year progressed, he just got better and better and better. And when it came to the World Under-18s, he was one of Canada's most dynamic players. He's got great speed. He's got great puck handling. He's got, he plays kind of an energetic game. I think he could go, you know, in that sort of 17, 18, 19, 20 range. Whether that surprises some people, I can't say for sure, but that's somebody to definitely keep an eye out on. As for the second half of your question, who might drop, that's, I guess, a bit more interesting. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, in a draft like this, so many things can happen. I think this is a very deep draft. There's a lot of talent really everywhere. I think it's better than the last few years in terms of both the top end and that sort of second, third, fourth tiers. So a guy you could drop that had a lot of, I guess, hype coming into the year, I would go with Lassie Thompson of Kelowna. He's a defenseman, came from Finland. He played on the under-18s last year, so 2018, and did a good job. He went to Kelowna, put up good numbers from the blue line. I don't have the numbers right in front of me. It was like 17, 18 goals from the defense on a not very strong team. But I could see him falling a bit because he doesn't have any one skill that sets him apart from anybody else. Like, he puts up the numbers, but he's not the best skater. He's not the greatest puck mover. He just does a lot of things well. And he's a really good pick. I just don't know that, I'm not sure a team will be convinced that they want to take him in the first round.
Last thing I want to ask you, Ryan, here is a couple of the interesting names that could be available for the Sabres at 31. Obviously, when we've talked to other guys, we didn't know where the Sabres were exactly picking because the Blues hadn't won the Cup or they haven't finished the playoffs. But now that it's all done and the Sabres have the last pick in the first round, who's a guy that might be of interest for the Sabres, or a couple of guys at least?
Well, I think a lot of it depends on what they pick in the first round, in their first pick. So, you know, you don't want to get kind of two of the same thing. But there's somebody, like, one guy I kind of like who grew on me as the year went on is Ryan Johnson, a defenseman from Sioux Falls in the USHL. If he's still around, we have him ranked in the high 20s, low 20s, I should say. So, I mean, if he's still available at 31, he'd be a good pick. He's a very fast, kind of calm, composed, puck-moving defenseman. He's got good skills, but he plays, you know, he focuses on, handles the defense first before he goes into the offensive game. He's more of a long-term project. I think he's going to need a few years in college, but he has very good upside and a very high floor as well, in the sense that even at worst, you have a second-pairing defenseman.
Ryan, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, no, go ahead. I guess a lot of our picks, of course, are available. You can see them at the McKean's Draft Guide, which are available for $12.99. You get access to the draft guide as well as all the scouting reports our team put together throughout the year. But there's a lot of good talent that the Sabres are going to have available to them at 31.
Ryan, appreciate the time that you gave to us this morning. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and hopefully the weather is good where you are, and you'll be able to take in a nice Saturday and Sunday for you.
Thank you very much. You too.
Yep, thanks, Ryan. Ryan Wagman from McKean's Hockey joining us here on the Wester Hotline. We appreciate him giving us some time this morning to talk some NHL draft. We'll continue hockey talk when we come back from this break. Also, Brian Koziel coming up at 12:30 this afternoon, talking some U.S. Open golf and also some Sabres hockey moving forward as we get ready for the NHL draft next week. And the offseason, of course, which kind of starts today, I guess you want to say. I mean, it officially did start when the Blues won the Stanley Cup on Wednesday, but I think it feels like to me that it officially starts today with the buyout period officially beginning, and teams are able to certainly start to kind of tool their roster for this upcoming season. So we'll be back more in just a minute here on Sports Talk Saturday. Brayton Wilson here on WGR. Back here again.
I don't know, and it's a good question. You know, you're right. I mean, that's a team that needs to get younger, not get older. And when I've seen him and watched him closely, and I did last year in the playoffs and you know, leading up to the postseason, et cetera, he looks like a good player to me.
Sorry, it was rude of me to interrupt TSN's Darren Dreger, who was speaking with the Instigators. When Darren Dreger speaks, you do not interrupt him, Derek. And well, I was wrong on my part to do that.
I mean, look, it's kind of my fault because I'm playing such a dope bump, like getting jiggy with it, and you just want to get going. So that's kind of my fault.
No, don't take any blame. Don't take any blame on that.
I'll take some blame on this because once you hear this, you just want to get going.
Anyway.
They should play that wedding.
Darren Dreger's chatting there about Jason Zucker, who's been reportedly available widely. It's been widely speculated in that he's been available and that he would be a possible trade piece for a certain team. The Sabres, get back your mic, that the Sabres would possibly be interested in Jason Zucker. Obviously, Zucker was part of a reported deal that was with the Calgary Flames at the trade deadline that fell apart last minute. Also, he was going to be part of a piece trade that was for Phil Kessel with the Penguins this offseason. And that fell apart too because Phil Kessel said no to a trade to the Minnesota Wild. So Zucker's a very interesting interesting asset on the trade market as we speak. And there's a there's an article that came out. SB Nation, Hockey Wilderness, tweeted it out. We'll get that to you when we come back from this break. Also, Elliot Friedman just released his latest 31 Thoughts blog. And there's an interesting little piece on the Sabres that we'll talk about a little bit. We'll get that to you in just a moment. Also, Brian Koziel coming up at 12:30, giving us a little bit of a recap of the first two rounds of the U.S. Open. U.S. Open coverage also, by the way, coming up at noon on Fox. So you could tune into that, watch, and see how the board moves up and down as they continue to play on at Pebble Beach. And we'll talk some Sabres as well with Brian moving forward. 803-0551-888-552-550. Those are the numbers here if you want to get a hold of us and join the show this morning, this afternoon. We'll step aside when we come back. Again, we'll get you Elliot Friedman's latest thoughts on the Sabres and also a possible trade that we could see maybe between the Wild and the Sabres that was mentioned in Hockey Wilderness. It's nothing that's being reported. It's just a mock trade that happens with their draft coverage. So we'll get that to you in a matter of moments here on Sports Talk Saturday, 2 hours ago on WGR.